T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings.
Howard Simon.
Nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. We would be disgusted if a butcher was mislabeling their cuts of meats, but then we go around and pretending as though the breast of the chicken is its wing?
Jeremy White.
Boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders. I don't order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. We need to teach them that the wing of a chicken is from a chicken, and it's delicious.
On WGR.
We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash.
Sports Radio 550.
Had you not heard that before?
I had not.
Oh, no. That is awesome. Some guy at like a city council meeting in Nebraska or something like that. Wasn't that great?
We need more heroes like that.
Hey, we're Nate's in for Jeremy. We'll get back to the Bills and the schedule and all the fun football stuff. 803-0550 to join us. Also, we've been talking a little bit of hockey because of what's been it's the Sabres. There are no weird weeks anymore with the Sabres. It's just the Sabres. On our Western hotline is Frank Saravelli. Frank is the TSN senior hockey reporter, and he joins us right now. Frank, it's Howard and Nate. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning, boys. What's going on?
You know, you're always looking for a good story. The nice thing is, Frank, when it comes to the Sabres, it never gets boring. And
no.
When you think you've seen just about anything that could possibly be written about, they give you something else.
Yeah, what a treasure trove of stories this year. Just not exactly a treasure on the ice.
For a while now. Monday, the bombshell Jack Eichel stuff, I know how it played here. What's the reaction around the league to what Eichel was talking about on Monday?
Well, I don't know if there was necessarily any surprise. Clearly, with Jack Eichel sitting out and missing the remainder of the season and not hearing any news on that front in terms of where his injury was progressing, I think some people had an inkling that something was up. I think what's fascinating is the ramifications. You know, we can go back and forth on the he said, in terms of what is going on behind the scenes and Jack Eichel's camp requesting to have what turns out to be an experimental surgery and the Sabres resisting that. And if we're being honest, I think Eichel's camp has actually engaged the NHLPA in terms of what a potential grievance might look like, and their own doctors have reviewed the case and I believe would even side with the Sabres. Now, I guess Jack Eichel has some power here that he can continue to pursue it. But what's more interesting to me is the ramifications of what that injury means. In talking to people around the league yesterday, I had an NHL general manager who is potentially interested in trading for Jack Eichel say at the moment he's untradeable. So you've got a guy that's unhealthy, unhappy, and now potentially untradeable. It's a pretty ugly triumvirate for the Sabres and the worst-case scenario, I would imagine. Now, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I still think, even at this very moment, there's teams that would be willing to take a risk, provided that they review the medical records, to trade for a superstar like Jack Eichel. But when Kevin Adams says to you yesterday that his goal and what's most paramount is Jack Eichel's health, that's a big reason why, because it's going to play a big factor in terms of trading Jack Eichel. Until there's clarity there, that's going to be a lot harder to do, and it's going to reduce the return.
Frank, I was curious about if teams are interested, if the Sabres want to trade Eichel, and if teams are interested, how that might work. Would they be able to access medical information? Could a team that's working on a trade of Eichel say, well, we want our doctors to look at him first?
It's possible. The Sabres would need to grant permission, and then Eichel would have, you know, they can review medical records. That happens all the time before a transaction. And then they could certainly, you know, get their hands on Jack Eichel if they wanted to, if something like that needed to happen. Yep.
Is it, in addition to the injury stuff, again, we're going to go with the whole what if they decide to trade him. The $10 million cap number and the flat cap for the league, would that make it challenging at all? Would that take some teams out of contention for that and limit the market?
It could, but to be fair, I think there's enough teams with enough space, and if you do it early enough, that I don't think it's nearly as big of a limiting factor as many would make it out to be. You know, I think you look at the broader picture of the league, and even looking at this year with a flat cap, the number of teams towards the bottom of capfriendly.com that have significant space, it's only going to get better. I mean, I look at a team like, and I don't know that they're a serious contender for them, but I look at a team like the Chicago Blackhawks and how much their cap picture has changed in the last 6 to 12 months. You know, they're a team that for the first time in 5 or 6 years now has significant space, and 3 years from now has just $8 million committed to the salary cap. So they're, I think, to me, an example of the number of teams who have, now that they've gotten past this season, there's a new team coming into the league that is going to have the ability to take on bad contracts if you make it worth their while. It's another outlet for teams to get creative and get flexible that, you know, I just don't see it as big of a roadblock as it once was.
We're with Frank Saravelli, TSN senior hockey reporter. I saw a clip, the insider trading clip the other day, Frank, and you guys were talking about Eichel. In terms of what teams would be serious contenders, I know you had brought up the Kings, I think, and Anaheim, not to sleep on them. Who would the serious contenders be at this point?
Well, my colleague Pierre LeBrun, as you know, mentioned in that clip, the Minnesota Wild, a team looking for a center, and also the New York Rangers. Now, I understand why the Rangers would be interested. It doesn't make sense to me why the Buffalo Sabres would trade him to someone in your division that you're going to have to play 6 to 8 times a season. You know, I think that, you know, to have Jack Eichel come through town and beat you while you're rebuilding, the optics of that, I don't think anyone loves that. So I don't think that would be Buffalo's first priority, but you never know which team offers the most and what makes it worth your while. And that's why I mentioned the Los Angeles Kings. You know where it's pretty far from Buffalo? It's SoCal. And not only that, but it's a world away for Jack Eichel in terms of the pressures that would be on him, not just in market, but also on the Los Angeles Kings roster. That's Anze Kopitar's team. You know, if you don't have the pressure on you to be the guy, to be the captain, to do everything, to have, when the puck's on your stick, to know that it's you or no one else, that wouldn't exist any longer. And not only that, but the Kings are interested. I mentioned that they had at the very least, a cursory conversation with the Sabres before the trade deadline. And I think a lot of teams have had this similar type of conversation with Kevin Adams, which was, hey, if you're going to move him now, we're prepared to make you an offer. But, you know, in the middle of the season, it's obviously a lot more difficult for teams. So I think the message from a lot of teams was, don't do anything until you talk to us. And the Kings were most certainly on that list. And they've got the goods to get it done. They've got the cap space. And they've got 7 players on our Craig Button's top 75 affiliated prospect list. I think Quinton Byfield is a non-starter. He's not leaving Los Angeles. But I think some of the other guys that are on that list, a Kupari, a Samuel Fagamo, you know, Arthur Kaliev, those are types of players, top prospects that would interest the Sabres moving forward. And if you can get a few of them plus some picks, plus maybe a roster player or two, who knows what the ultimate package looks like. But that's how I think you would have to approach it.
A couple non-Eichel things before we let you go. Sam Reinhart, I want to ask, get your thoughts on him too, because like Eichel, like Rasmus Ristolainen, this guy's known nothing but losing since he's been here. He's an RFA. He's 1 year away from being a UFA for the first time. Could he be traded this offseason?
I'd be very surprised. And I guess I think there's a difference between the way that Sam Reinhart is covered in your town and the actual reality of Sam Reinhart and what happens behind the scenes. I got to tell you, I wrote a story last week on TSN.ca, and I spent a long time talking to Don Granato and got his impression on a lot of different players, and it didn't make it into my piece. But he said that he was blown away with how much of a leader Sam Reinhart is on that team and how he not just stepped up in a big way this season and was the Sabres' most consistent player, finished 10th in the league in goals, is a guy that's continued to get better and better. He's really well-liked, and he's not, I don't think, at all what he seems to be on Zoom calls or in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think you have to put that aside and separate that. Like, to me, he's one of the real building blocks of this team that you're going to need to build around in order to get better, because he's a driver, and he's consistent, and he shows up. And so I guess what I'm saying is I don't necessarily understand some of the coverage and question marks surrounding Sam Reinhart.
You know what? It's not. It's less about him and more about why would he want to stay here?
Well, first off, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And I would think that someone like Sam Reinhart would see himself with the season he had as part of the solution. You get more guys like me and we're going to be fine.
You mentioned Granato. That is the actual final thing I want to bring up, Frank. I read your piece, and it's a fantastic story about his path to becoming the interim head coach. How would you rate his chances of getting the job permanently?
I'd say they're pretty good. I don't know that I can put a definitive number on it, but I think it's well north of 50-50. It's not a coin flip. I think the job that he did coming in this season, that may have been one of the toughest mid-season takeovers in hockey history, when you consider where this team was at, how downtrodden and broken they were in the middle of a 12-game losing streak. You know, it's one thing to get them playing better, but it's another thing to just get them to get their heads up. And that was the first task. He was able to do that, capture their attention, and then, by the way, they played better. And so I understand the response from people is going to be, well, how much faith or stock can you put in a late-season surge? When the chips are, off the table and you have nothing to play for, pressure's off. In this case, my response would be, look at the roster and lineup he had at his disposal. $38.7 million as a team you're icing in an $81.5 million league. I think he did a lot with a little. And you know what? It's a fascinating story with Don Granato. And, you know, the game doesn't always give you what you deserve. But for what he's been through and also the coach that he was at one point in his career, the AHL Coach of the Year, the next hot thing, to end up in this spot exactly two decades later, it's not just a feel-good story. I think it's the right play for the Buffalo Sabres. He's gone to the U.S. National Development Program, coached kids, teenagers for 3 years. He knows what makes this generation tick. And if you're the Sabres, you need a coach that's going to make your players and your team better. You don't need a finisher to come in and win the Stanley Cup. You need someone that can put your team back on the map, and I think he's the guy to do it.
So not Torts is what you're saying. It's not Torts.
Yeah, I would say the exact opposite.
Yes, that's what you need. Nate and I were having that conversation in a break earlier in the
basically
show.
Basically anything but Torts. Yeah.
Frank's work is available at TSN.ca. Frank Saravelli, TSN senior hockey reporter with us on our Western Hotline. Frank, thanks for giving us some time this morning. Enjoy the playoffs.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much.